You know, we're getting closer and closer to the time when school will be out for the summer. All of the kids are anticipating that time. What is the thing that you enjoy the most about school? What is the thing that you like the least about school? Most students would say that they like the tests least about school than any other thing, any other aspect. I remember a few students who always said they loved the test. They looked forward to the test. Now, they were what I considered to be somewhat imbalanced in some other areas of their thinking as well, the best I recall. Normally, we don't really enjoy tests all that much. It's something that most of us would probably say we're not very good at. It's something that we certainly don't look forward to. But I have noticed that as I get older, I see that the time for tests never really does go away. I know that's a big disappointment to you young folks who are looking forward to getting out of school when you won't have to take any more tests, but basically everything is based on tests. You got to take a test to get your driver's license. You got to have eye tests. You got to be tested for this and that and the other. You've got to take tests in your job. Wasn't long ago in my job, someone handed me two great big thick manuals and says, here, you need to study so that you can get your certification here as soon as possible. And I thought, I'm too old for this. This is not something that I really want to do. We don't like to be tested. One of the things that I've always disliked more than anything is the trick questions. Remember those? Those questions that seem to have a very obvious answer, but in reality, the answer wasn't what you thought it was. Let me give you a sample or two. How long did the 100-year war last? Well, everybody knows it lasted 116 years. My question is, why do they call it the 100 Years' War then if it lasted 116 years? Here's another one, a real common one. What country in the world originated the Panama hat? Ecuador, of course. I'm not sure why all of that is, but it is definitely a fact. I didn't believe that when I first heard it. I had to look it up for myself, and it's true. Ecuador is the originator and the maker of the best Panama hats. Everybody knows what animal would get catgut from, right? No, it's sheep and horses. Someone has suggested that maybe they call it catgut because cat is short for cattle. Now, this whole conversation is not something that I get great delight in, and so I'm going to move on to the next question. This will be the last one, I think. Maybe you can catch this one. In what month do the Russians celebrate the October Revolution? That's right, it's November. You see, there are a lot of things out there that the answer is not quite as obvious as the question may imply. I say all of that just to remind us that no matter where we are, how far we go, or what we do, there's always going to be a test lurking around the corner somewhere, and so you may as well just resign yourself to the idea, except here's something that we all seriously need to be reminded of. Our lesson text this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. It's that passage that we find Paul telling us, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you unless indeed you fail the test. You'll notice the word test occurs two times in that verse. That's reading from the New American Standard Version. The wording is basically the same in all of the translations. It means the same thing whether you're reading the King James, New King James. No hope in getting away from this test just simply by changing translations that you want to read. The test is required. In fact, God says, test yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Examine yourselves. This is a very, very important aspect of our Christian existence. And so this morning, I want us to talk about and think about the idea of spiritual inventory. And we might all need to ask and answer the question, when was the last time I really examined myself? Charles Spurgeon, in a sermon that he preached in October of 1858, addressed this particular text. And in that sermon, he admonished his congregation to examine themselves and to examine their own souls in this way. He said, number one, you should examine your own soul in the way that a lawyer cross-examines a lying witness on the stand in the courtroom. Now, that's an interesting way to look at it. Examine yourself as a lawyer examines a lying witness on the stand. Secondly, Mr. Spurgeon went on and he said, examine yourself, examine your own soul in the manner that a regimental commander examines his troops on inspection day. Now, you military guys can shed some light on that inspection matter to most of us, because the average person probably wouldn't dream of what a real military inspection of uniform, weapons, and so forth really involves. Thirdly, Mr. Spurgeon went on and he said, examine your own soul as a traveler visiting a country he wishes to write a book about. And he examines it from top to bottom, border to border. That's how we need to examine ourselves. Now, we've already established the fact that we don't really care much for tests. I have an idea that we don't really care that much for examining ourselves. And there are some really important reasons why that would be the case. I said they are important reasons. I didn't say they were good reasons. In other words, there is no way before God to get out of, to get around, or to resist the responsibility of examining our own selves. And so perhaps there is no better time than today for us to give some thought to that. And to begin with this question, why should we examine ourselves? I understand that the Bible tells us to, but there are some really important reasons underneath that fact, and we want to do everything that God tells us to do. And so why is it that we would examine ourselves? Number one, let me suggest that first of all, it gets right down to the fact that Christianity is basically self-regulated. Now, understand that God's Word tells us what to do, and God holds us accountable for doing what He has told us to do, but God doesn't make us do what He wants us to do. If I'm going to obey God, and if my soul is going to be in the proper condition, it's up to me to make sure that that happens. And so, in that sense, we are self-regulated. Now, there are many passages, for example, Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17, where it talks about going to someone who has sinned and confronting them about their sin and so forth. And again, in that sense, we do help one another in the regard to staying right and getting right. But the actual truth is that most aspects of our lives as Christians depend upon us looking closely to see if spiritual problems exist and then taking the initiative to correct those problems. Therefore, we cannot and should not neglect this task of self-examination. We don't want to be sitting around waiting on someone else to do it. We've already established the fact that we don't like to be tested by someone else. And so it's up to us to regulate ourselves, to inspect ourselves, to examine ourselves, because no one else is going to do that for us. We need to examine ourselves, secondly, because we very possibly may have fooled ourselves. We may have convinced ourselves that it's not that important to do certain things, or that it is not all that critical that we give attention to certain aspects of Christianity. And it may be that we've bought that line, hook, line, and sinker, as we say sometimes, because those are usually the ones we believe the easiest, the ones that we convince ourselves of. Terry read a passage to us a few minutes ago from Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23, where Jesus addressed the concept that some folks would be operating under a shadow of self-deception, thinking, having convinced themselves that they were okay, but really they were not okay, when Jesus says there's going to come a time when some are going to be turned away and they're going to say, "Lord, didn't we do so and so? Lord, we thought we were okay." The bottom line is, it's relatively easy, especially today, to think that all is well. And so one of the real important aspects of self-examination is in light of the fact that we often fool ourselves into thinking that everything is all right. Self-examination is needful, thirdly, because there is so much to know and so much to do, and the world keeps us so busy that it's easy to fall behind. Now, I don't know of a single endeavor that we regularly dedicate ourselves to where there is not the possibility and even the danger of getting behind. The fact is, there are some things, if we get behind, our solution is just to quit. I know a lot of folks who've gotten behind in school and they decided just to give it up. I know a lot of people who've gotten behind at their job, at work, and they suddenly one day just didn't show up and decided to find something else to do. Christianity is not any different in that respect. It is very possible to get behind. It is very possible to waver on things and to literally become unfaithful due to a lack of diligence and faithful service. And the natural thing that many people choose to do is to just drop out, to quit. And so one of the ways that God advises us to deal with the potential problem of getting too far behind is to examine ourselves. To examine ourselves and make sure that we are in the faith. Continuing education. Perhaps we should move to another question and spend the rest of our time with this. How do we examine ourselves? Or more specifically, what areas really need this examination? Let me just suggest a few things. This is not an exhaustive list, but these are some things that we do have the tendency sometimes to fall behind in, to neglect, to be misguided in. And so let's examine ourselves, first of all, in the matter of personal accountability. This goes back to what we said a few minutes ago in the fact that we're all responsible for ourselves. Now, I know a lot of folks would like to think that the preacher is responsible for them and making sure that they do the right thing and getting the right amount of work out of them and so forth. But you know, it doesn't take long before that gets really old if someone is behind you all the time pushing and punching and saying, hey, let's do a little bit more. Really, we all need to examine ourselves in the light of personal accountability. In fact, James says in James chapter 1, verse 22, prove yourselves to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Prove yourselves. It's not up to someone else to prove that you're a doer of the word. You, I, we are the only ones who can do that, and we do that for ourselves. Prove yourself as a doer of the word, because there is coming a day. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 tells about that day when we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, each one for his or her deeds. Paul says, according to what he or her has done, whether good or bad. We're going to be held accountable. Therefore, we need to take a close look at this matter of personal responsibility and accountability. We need to examine ourselves from the standpoint of personal doctrine. Perhaps one of the more famous passages that deal with the matter of doctrine is in 2 John verses 9 through 11. We've heard that one quoted and read so many times, most of us can quote it ourselves. Whosoever goeth onward or transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not... Wait a minute. I want us to back up a little bit. Let's back up to verse 8. And not begin reading at 2 John verse 9, but begin reading at 2 John verse 8, because there are some personalities involved in all of this that we need to pay attention to. The first one is us. In verse 8, look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought or worked for, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. That's all talking about us. Those words should be seen as a mirror reflecting us. Let us watch yourselves. Then, verse 10, it changes and it starts talking about them. Everything up to verse 9 is talking about us. In verse 10, it's talking about them. So this is an us and them proposition. And first on the list is us. And we've got a responsibility to look to ourselves. Then he gives the warning, if there comes anyone to you and does not bring this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. You see there how it begins reminding us that we need to look to ourselves. We don't need to get caught up in someone else's false doctrine, but we need to make sure that what we're observing is the doctrine of Christ. The world is under the impression that questions of religious doctrine are the exclusive domain of trained theologians. Often the typical church member is willing to let the preacher or the Sunday school teacher do all the studying and all of the learning. We can't afford to trust our eternal fate to the opinions of other people. Therefore, that passage we just read begins with the "let us." It's our responsibility to make sure that the doctrine which we believe and practice and teach is right. We need to examine ourselves from the standpoint of personal worship. The quality and the sincerity of my worship is something that only I can evaluate. If you're not exercising quality control over the worship that you offer to God, who's supposed to be doing that? It's my responsibility to make sure that my worship and my attitude in worship, my sincerity, is what it should be. When you listen to the lesson, ask yourself if you're honestly applying the message to yourself. When you pray, when you sing, when you partake of the Lord's Supper, examine your heart and make sure that you're doing it to the very best of your ability in the sincerest way and in the most correct way that you know how. One of the great benefits of corporate worship is that it naturally provides an opportunity for self-examination and for reflecting on our own spiritual health. Now, just one little word of advice, you're not really going to be able to accomplish that and do a good job of it if you wait till 8:45 to get up and prepare for the 9 o'clock service. We need to examine ourselves in terms of personal worship, personal discipline, and growth. You know, for most of us, even physical exercise requires a great deal of self-discipline. It's just as much so regarding spiritual matters. You cannot get into good physical condition without exercising discipline. You cannot get into good spiritual condition if you're not willing to discipline yourself spiritually. And to grow? Whose responsibility is it for me to grow? It's mine. I need to be sure that I'm taking full advantage of the resources that are around me and the teachers that teach me. For those who have spent their time and efforts in trying to make known the clear teaching of God's Word, but it's really right down to me to make sure that I grow. Nobody else is going to be able to answer for it. Personal works. Am I doing enough in the service of God? Are you? Truth is, no one can tell us for sure about that regarding anyone but themselves. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 4 reminds us, let each one examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. What that passage is saying is that we know ourselves, and so it's our responsibility to make sure that what we're doing is right. Because the fact is, sometimes we're not honest with ourselves. There are some times when we really would rather not see the truth. And so God's Word reminds us to examine ourselves regularly, to determine whether or not we are in the faith, to determine whether or not we pass the test. You know, it may be that some of us are under the impression that the test is going to come right at the very end and there won't be anything until then. We'll worry about that test right before it gets here. That doesn't seem to be the way that it should be seen regarding what we've looked at this morning, does it? In fact, it seems like there's a lot of work to be done all along the way, examining and testing and checking and disciplining and acting. Are you thinking that maybe you'll wait before you do what it is that God says you must do? Have you never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism? Or if perhaps you've done that, you've become unfaithful and keep telling yourself, one day I'm going to get that straightened out. Why not do it today? Why not respond in obedience to the Lord's invitation? If you're subject in any way, we sing this song to encourage you and invite you to come as we stand together and sing.